It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie. How are you?
Hey, Kelly. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you too. How's the week been?
Oh, not bad. Parliament starts again next week, so we're all gearing up for that. I've been pretty busy in my electorate office serving the good people of Botany, and then back to Wellington next week.
Oh, exciting. So how often do you go down to Wellington then for Parliament? Are you down there kind of from Monday to Friday, or is it an each day of situation?
When Parliament's sitting, I usually go down on a Monday night and then come back on a Thursday night. So it's only 3 nights away from home.
Oh, nice.
Hey, that's when the parliamentary sitting week is, and that's where we need to be if you're an MP.
Indeed. Well, even though Parliament is not yet sitting, there's still lots going on in politics. So kind of the point of attention at the moment is the CPTPP agreement, which I keep seeming to get calling it wrong.
Bonus
I keep calling it the TPP.
If you actually know what it stands for.
Pardon?
Bonus points if you actually know what it stands for.
Oh, well, I know the TPP, but the CP that's just been added is just confusing because then the A got taken out and then the CP got added and I don't even really know what we're talking about anymore.
Oh, yeah, but it's the two letters that mean that New Zealand First and Labour now think they can vote for it. That's the real difference.
Indeed, New Zealand First has indeed changed their tune. However, the Labour government is saying that, well, Trade Minister David Parker is saying that the Labour-led government has achieved something that National couldn't by coming to agreement with these other countries while still banning foreign home buyers.
Well, show us the money. We need to know. We're not convinced that that's necessarily the case. TPP was in a pretty good shape. Donald Trump and the US pulled out. And then it went back and the countries effectively agreed that they'd continue with the agreement in most of the format that it's in. The protections are there for New Zealand. Were basically protections that had been negotiated in and we were all comfortable with. Protections like ensuring you can legislate for social and economic matters if you need to, or environmental matters in the country. Ensuring the Treaty of Waitangi is protected. There's a special carve-out in there for Treaty of Waitangi. Ensuring that there's protection there for governments to do things that are going to benefit their country and not be attacked by foreign corporations. Those are in there. And ensuring that there's still access to markets where we gain economic value for New Zealanders is the whole basis of TPP. And so it really does look like many of the things that had been negotiated for years and were already in the agreement, Labour and the Greens, and Labour and New Zealand First, are now saying they've managed to get into the agreement. They're actually mostly already there. But if there's something new, something big and wild that hasn't been released publicly yet, then yeah, they should come out and tell us what they are. They were pretty big on wanting the text released in full as early as possible when they're in opposition. I hope they continue with that same position now they're in government.
So a lot of those things that you mentioned previously, such as, you know, the protection of the Treaty of Waitangi and things like that that are really important to New Zealand, that were already part of the agreement. Do you think now, though, that it is a better agreement after, you know, obviously National kind of laid the foundations for that, but do you think now with this, you know, we're not being able to be sued necessarily through an international tribunal now if there is a foreign, you know, entity that wants to sue New Zealand government, they have to do it through the New Zealand Parliament and things like, you know, banning the national banning the international buyers. Do you think now it's a better agreement?
There's still protections. There will still be protections for investments in there. Though those 11 countries wouldn't have signed up for it unless there were some protections in there. It's called ISDS. What you have to have in an agreement, though, to protect your country, is to ensure you can still legislate for social and environmental matters. Protecting investment is about ensuring a country can't just go, we're going to steal that asset off you, you evil foreign corporation. That's what has happened overseas, and that's what has allowed investors to protect their assets. But where a country says, we think we want to do this to clean up a river, do this to help protect the health of New Zealanders, we should be able to do that. That was already in the agreement. Now, if there's something new that the government's been able to get in there, great, let us know what it is. But you must remember, Kelly, these types of agreements that involve a large number of countries, they take literally years to negotiate. And I just struggle to believe that the Labour government has all of a sudden, in a matter of weeks and just a couple of months, have managed to completely change an agreement. The reality is it will be pretty much the same as what National negotiated. It might have some minor tweaks alongside it. But those protections around investment and around ensuring a country is able to legislate for the environmental or social protection of its people was already in there and is likely to still be in there now.
So because Greens aren't supporting it because of those ISDS clauses...
Well, they're taking a more principled position and they're consistent from opposition to government.
So that means that National Party needs to support it for it to go through, is that correct?
Well, the only way I would get the votes in the Parliament is for National support, and we said that we have, with that we likely will do that. We still want to see what the changes are and any text around it, but we're the party that believes in free trade, has negotiated free trade agreements, and we'll continue with that. What we are seeing, though, is that, I think rather cynically, Labor and New Zealand First opposed TPP when they're in opposition to gain the support of the people that were opposed to it in New Zealand. Now in government, they've effectively flipped their position. And their supporters can rightfully be concerned and wanting to know what's changed in it.
Right, so you guys are asking for that transparency before you openly support it?
Well, yeah, you don't sign up to something without knowing what's in there.
Indeed.
But as I said, it's unlikely it will have changed much. It probably will be along the lines of exactly what we negotiated, and if it is, then it's highly likely we'll support it.
So as well as this being in the news, something else Labor has been making news about is the employment law changes that they're setting to what was national legislation that said that sort of 90-day period where people come into work is a probationary period and you can still be let go and you don't have to have a reason in those 90 days. But Labor is planning to get rid of that and to trying to strike a balance of fairness, I suppose, between workers and employers. Obviously, this is against what you legislated. So what does National think about this?
Well, they're still actually keeping the 90-day trials. They're just restricting it to small businesses. I have been chuckling a bit to myself this morning as I've been preparing for this interview and just going through some of the stuff. I mean, they're completely opposed to 90-day trials when they're in opposition, comes the government, and they're saying, oh, well, they're okay for some businesses. They said they wanted a whole large raft of changes around workplace relations and having national awards effectively. We're not seeing that. So they have changed their view somewhat. But what is concerning in this is that much of the reforms that they're proposing are about allowing greater access for unions to the workplace and allowing unions to have a much stronger role in negotiating, even though a very small percentage of New Zealanders are members of union. I think less than 10% in the private sector. So I think if you're going to talk about having a balance between employers and employees, you can't just assume that every employee wants to be part of the union and have the union do the job for them. 90% of employees in the private sector have basically said they don't agree with unions in the way in which they negotiate for them by not being a part of the union. So I think we need to ensure that there's greater balance, yes, but ensuring that employees aren't railroaded into unions if they don't want to be railroaded into them. The other point to remember here is New Zealand's actually been performing pretty well. We've grown our economy by 10,000 jobs a week. Wages have gone up far faster than the rate of inflation. If you want to ask yourself, how well are we doing on the employment relations front? Are people getting jobs? Are wages going up? The answer to that is actually yes. I'm not sure that there's something broken here that needs to be fixed.
In terms of this 90-day trial period, though, I suppose because Labor's keeping it in for those small businesses as well, a big thing for those small businesses is that a lot of them are hospitality, and it seems in that hospitality industry that primarily there's young workers and there's migrant workers, and a lot of people are saying that they're getting exploited by this 90-day trial. You know, by having an employer doesn't have to have a reason to let you go. They could potentially hire you under this probationary period, say, we'll give you a smaller wage and then we'll increase it after those 90 days, and then they just let you go before those 90 days. And it's a quick rotation of workers and it's really difficult to keep a job. Do you think we should just scrap this 90-day thing altogether?
I don't have the research in front of me, but I do recall seeing some research which effectively said, yes, there would have been a couple of bad apples. Yes, there would have been some instances where people weren't treated fairly, and that's not right. And those employers should have been out to appropriately. But across the board, 90-day trials have meant, for the most part, that young people, people that have had issues in their life previously, people that may have come out of prison, have had an opportunity to gain access to work. And those people that need work, that have a tougher time finding jobs than the average person, having that extra ability for an employer to take a chance, put some more risk in there by taking on that person, having the 90-day trial have met more of those people have gained employment. And I think gaining employment for those people, ensuring there's an opportunity for them in the future, that was the reason why we put in place 90-day trials. And effectively, that's the same reason why the Labor government now has flipped their position and said they're happy with 90-day trials in restricted situations. The Labor government says a lot of things in opposition. They're not exactly carrying through in the government, and they've effectively adopted some of our policy in this area, particularly with regards to 90-day trials, where they're saying they're still okay in certain circumstances.
Awesome. Well, good luck for Parliament next week, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to chat about after that week in Parliament, which will be very interesting.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly.
Have a lovely week. Thanks for chatting with us.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.